supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear friends, Salamu alaikum, and welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio on a special day. Today is the birthday anniversary of Imam Hadi, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Today, Monday, is the 15th of Zulhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, thousands of congratulations on the birthday of Imam Hadi, peace be upon him.
نبلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدون يا عساهم عايدين.
Imam Hadi's epithets. His epithets expressed the high qualities he possessed. His epithets are At-Taqi, that means pious, devout. He was called so because he feared Allah and turned to him. The Mutawakkil, the tyrant Abbasid Caliph, tried his best to attract Imam Hadi alayhi salam to the fields of amusement and debauchery, but he failed. The other epithet of Imam Hadi is Al-Murtaba, means being pleased with Allah. It was his most famous epithet. And Al-Faqih, that means jurisprudent. He was the most informed person of his age in jurisprudence and was the authority that jurisprudents and scholars turned to. The other one is Al-Alim, that means knowledgeable. He was the most knowledgeable one among the people of his time, not only in the Islamic laws, but all branches of knowledge and sciences. Al-Rashid, that means wise and prudent. Imam Hadi alayhi salam was called so because he was the wisest and most prudent of his time. Ash-Shahid, that means the martyr, because he was martyred at the hands of the enemies of Allah. And Al-Wafi, that means loyal. He was the most loyal of his people, and loyalty was a key element of his personality. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world, congratulations on the birthday anniversary of our dear Imam, Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Very nice thing. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with Imam Al-Hadi's moral conduct. Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, as the 10th infallible Imam, was a perfect man in his lifetime and in the time of his imamate. And at the same time, it must be indicated that he was one of the most pleasing people in terms of communicating with others. This is remarked by Ibn Shahr Ashub in his magnum opus Manaqib ala Abi Talib. Those people who had the opportunity of meeting up with Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam remembered him as one of the most impressive personalities, both in terms of speech, in terms of reasoning, and in terms of piety. And those people who never had the opportunity of meeting up with Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam, but rather heard about him, described him as a very magnificent personality. It was expected to be so because he was an infallible imam, and any of the infallible imams, any of the 12 infallible imams, resembled the fine qualities and moral traits of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, it must be indicated that in terms of knowledge and in terms of piety, he was really an exemplary personality in his lifetime, such that Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam recommended others, especially his peers, to be truthful and at the same time to be very pious. We find that Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam intended to educate other people by means of his moral conduct. And this is enough that Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam instructed two important pilgrimage prayers, that is ziyarat texts to his peers. One was Ziyarat Jami Kabira, and the other one was Ziyarat Ghadiriyya, that is the ziyarat specifically addressing Imam Ali alayhi salam on the day of Ghadir Khum. Thank you.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets, their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed, this is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed, for this is the day of Eid.
Two chapters of his life. Imam Hadi alayhi salam has said truly, Allah has placed this world a place of testing and examination, and the hereafter a place of rewarding and punishment. And the examination of this world leads to the reward in the hereafter, and the reward in the hereafter is the result of the examination in this world. This world is a place of cultivation, and the hereafter is a place of harvesting and reaping the crop. The hereafter is not the prologue, it is the end result. It is like a day when students hear the result of their exams. Indeed, the period of man's existence is similar to a year of work. This world and the next is like one of two seasons. This world is the reason of planting and acting, and the hereafter is the season of harvesting, the end result, and a time to receive punishment and reward for our actions. Delightfully put, Imam Hadi alayhi salam has said in a prayer, may we be among the crowd who gain and receive the reward of the hereafter. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program today is special, except our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Happy Eid.
Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate, celebrate. Let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Allah's deputy, seeking means of Allah's beloved. During the reign of Mutawakkil, Imam Ali al-Naghi, peace be upon him, felt very ill for some time. The Imam knew his cure would be in the pilgrimage to the shrine of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Thereupon, he asked a group of his companions to go to Karbala. There, the selected group would pray for the Imam and ask Allah for his health to return. Companions of Imam Ali al-Naghi, peace be upon him, discussed the matter and returned to the Imam saying, O son of Allah's messenger, your status is better than that of Karbala's, because you are the Imam of the time. Your prayer is certainly answered. How will our prayer in Karbala have any effect upon you? The Imam replied, there are positions for Allah in that he prefers for worship to be done there. Although the status of the Messenger of Allah was higher than the Kaaba, yet the Prophet would still circumambulate the Karbala. There are certain places that if one prays, Allah will accept and answer his prayers. The shrine of Imam al-Hussein is therefore the same.
A man by the name of Abdul Rahman from the city in Iran called Isfahan. He was a devout lover of Al-Imam Salamullah Alayhi, of Ahlul Bayt. He was asked, why is it that you love Aliyul Hadi Alayhi Salam? You consider him as an Imam. When there are so many denominations, so many people calling for justice or righthood, many people, even in this day and age, look at the Islam alone. So many denominations, each one claims to be the truth. Why is it that he is the one? He says, when I was young, I was very poor, but I had a sharp tongue. So one day they kicked me out of the city of Isfahan. They told me, don't come back here anymore. And in fact, they forced me to go all the way to the Khalifa in Samarra. They wanted to complain of me. He says, when I was there at the Khalifa's court, I saw people kind of going in, coming out. Something didn't look normal. I asked, what's going on today? Something doesn't look normal today. They told me the Khalifa al-Mutawakkil al-Abbasi has summoned a man by the name of Ali al-Hadi, salamullahi alayhi. I told him, who is this man Ali al-Hadi? They said, he is of the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And the Shia, they consider him as an imam. This is their imam. He said, I wanted to see, who is this man? What does he look like? Why is everyone so concerned? People are going back and forth. And they told me, this person I asked, he told me, the Khalifa has ordered him to come, and maybe we're thinking he wants to kill him. That's why, we're thinking he wants to kill him. He said, I sat there, I was waiting for this man to arrive. He came. When I saw him, when I first saw him, his love fell into my heart. Just looking at him, subhanAllah. His love fell in my heart. And I started to pray to Allah, Ya Allah, protect him from this ruler. Save him from this ruler. Don't let him get hurt. I started praying. Between me and myself, nobody knew. Quietly, silently. He said, I saw this man. He walked by me. He looked at me and smiled and said, Allah has accepted your dua and He will reward you for this dua with long life and prosperity and wealth and children. He said, when he told me this, I fell down. How did he know what was going through my mind? He said, people told me, what's the matter? I said, nothing, nothing. And he will be blessed in dunya and in akhirah. This Abdurrahman says, I was not a follower of the imam. I was not one of his followers. But the mere looking at him, his love fell into my heart. He says, indeed, Allah saved him. He was not killed. He left. And I was released. I came back to Isfahan. All of the sudden, money started to come at me, right, left, and center, to the point where one room in my house, in one room, I have what we call today 1 million dirham. And now I am over 70 years old. And I have 10 children. So everything he said about me has been fulfilled. And he read my mind. So indeed, I will follow this man because he is haqq.
The time is over. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, we offer our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you and fi amanillah.
We're here on this special day. Our hearts are full of pleasure. A day that brings the two of you close together. We're gathered here to celebrate a moment you'll always treasure. We ask Allah to make your love last forever. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And with one voice, let's all sing, sing, sing.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to all on the birthday anniversary of the Prophet's 10th infallible heir, Imam Ali al-Naghi al-Hadi, peace be upon him. And here is a wise saying of this blessed figure who reposes in eternal peace in Samarra in Iraq. The world is like a market in which some prophet, while others incur loss.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here
I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Firstly and foremostly, we would like to congratulate the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman, and this being the birth of his grandfather, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and the entire Muslim Ummah, especially the followers of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, that is the Ithna Ashari Shi'i. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of this Imam that the zuhur and the reappearance of his grandson, Imam al-Zaman, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajhu al-sharif, is near, and we are able to be of those who are responsible, and we are able to assist the Imam alayhi salam in his duty and in his mission. One of the gifts that Imam Hadi alayhi salam has left for us is the ziyarah of Jami al-Kabira, and I highly recommend, my dear brothers and sisters, to ponder upon the words, the depth of the words, the profoundness of the words that are found in that ziyarah of Jami'a al-Kabira. There's a very beautiful tradition from Imam Hadi alayhi salam in speaking about tawadhu. Now here tawadhu, you know, can be translated in many ways. And because of how the hadith is actually worded, you know, some may say it is humility, some may say it is modesty. Because of the following on of the tradition, it is better to take it as modesty. You know, a person is showing his modesty, a person is showing his, you know, his humbleness also, you can say, you know, his demeanor, his good ethics even, and so on and so forth. So what the Imam in this tradition has said, that tawadhu, or whatever translation you take it as, modesty, as humility, you know, as honorability even, is to act with people in a way you wish for them to act with you. A very beautiful tradition. You know, it is how society should actually be formed. And that is why the concept of tawadhu is something highly recommended in Islam. And if everybody was mutawadhu or mutawad, you can say that, you know, the entire society will be a very beautiful thing, because everybody will be acting in a way that they wish others to act with them. And the society will be very, you know, as they say, heaven on earth, even though that is, you know, another discussion in itself. So when everybody is acting humble or modest or honorable with somebody else because they wish for them to be, to kind of act to them in the same way, obviously, the way you act with people is that you want to be kind to them, you want to be generous to them, you want to be, you know, friendly with them, because they were there for reciprocate those actions back to you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this tawadhu and this humility or modesty that Imam is speaking about here is something that we are able to achieve, to inculcate in our lives, inshallah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. In the first part today, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 110 and 111 of Surah Al-Isra, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan.
قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن أيما تدعوا فله الأسماء الحسنى ولا وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 110 and 111 of Surah Al-Isra, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, the great Egyptian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, in verse 110, we have several rules of tajweed. The first one I'd like to talk about is the lam in the majestic name of Allah. The way that lam in the name of Allah is pronounced, we can pronounce it in two ways, either with tawlil or tarqiq. Tawlil is basically the same as tafkhim,
which is thickness.
And when we're talking about the lam of Allah, we say tawlil. Tawlil means density, okay, to make something dense or thick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And practically means to pronounce it with the full mouth.
Full mouth, yes. So, قُلِدُعُ اللَّهَ. قُلِدُعُ اللَّهَ. The lam is pronounced with tawlil. Why?
Because actually it is preceded by a letter with actually a dhamma here.
Exactly. Okay, if we're pronouncing Allah by itself, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, because we're pronouncing it with a fatha, mm-hmm. because Allah has a fatha at the beginning,
again,
you always pronounce it with tawlil.
Yeah.
Okay. But if Allah is not at the beginning of the utterance, is not the first word that you are pronouncing, we have to look at the letter that's before the lam of Allah. Okay, if it's a dhamma or fatha, we pronounce with tawlil.
Actually, we have to look at the haraka of that letter.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, yes. To be more precise, we have to look at the haraka of the letter that's before the word of Allah. Okay, if it's a dhamma or fatha, we pronounce it with tawlil. Okay, but if it's a kasra, we pronounce it with tarqiq. We have both cases in these two verses. قُلِدُعُ اللَّهَ, that's one with تَغْلِيُ. And in the next verse, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ
لِلَّهِ
لِلَّهِ. We don't say لِلَّهِ, okay?
Mm-hmm.
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ.
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Because of the kasra of mim.
Yeah, because of the kasra. Now, what if there is a ya'ul mad, or aliful mad, or wawul mad? Aliful mad and wawul mad are the same as fatha and dhamma with respect to tawlil of the majestic name of Allah. Because aliful mad is a fatha that's doubled, and wawul mad is a dhamma that's doubled, the sound is doubled.
But
so they're the same.
Can such a thing occur before Allah?
It could occur. But the aliful mat or the wawul mat or yaul mat is not pronounced like a long vowel.
Yeah, again, the result is a short vowel.
The result is
actually
a short
Allah
vowel.
Begins with a hamzatul
yeah,
waqf.
Like qulidurullah.
Yes.
We don't say qulidurullah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in pronunciation, it's a short vowel, but it can happen. You
yeah.
might say that, okay, what if it's a long vowel? If it's a long vowel, then the rule is going to be the same rule as whenever you have a long vowel followed by hamzatul wasl.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
that becomes a short vowel, actually.
Which becomes a short vowel. For example, we have
Awadur Rahman.
In verse 110,
Qulidu Allah Awadur Rahman. Even though Udu'u becomes Udu'ur, yeah, because of the Aliful Wasl or the Hamzatul Wasl, it becomes a Dhamma. If it's a Ya'ul Mad, it becomes a Kasra. If it's an Aliful Mad, it becomes a Fatha.
And it's the same case for Allah.
Yeah.
Another very important rule is sometimes, especially Aliful Mad is not written like a normal Aliful Mad. For example, we have the word Allah itself. Do we have an Aliful Mad that's written like an Aliful Mad?
No, there's a small Aleph above
the Lam. We have a small Aleph above the Lam and above the Shadda. Okay?
Or and like Kitab. Sometimes it is written
Kitab. Yeah, yeah. But actually, all the time Kitab is written, the Ta has a small Aleph above. But for Allah, even the small Aleph is not written. If you look, for example, in the Uthman Taha Codex, you'll see that because everyone knows that Allah has to be pronounced with, has to be pronounced like a long vowel with an Aleph with Mad. Yeah. But some other words, for example, Husna. Sometimes Aleph is written on the two letters Ya and Waw.
Mm-hmm.
So Ya and Waw, they become seats or bases for Aleph.
Mm-hmm.
For Aliful Mad.
So they are not supposed to be pronounced.
They shouldn't be pronounced. Okay.
When the when that small Aleph just is just above them.
Yeah, you have to pronounce the letter that's before that Ya with Aliful Mad.
Mm-hmm.
Husna, look at verse 110. Ayyamma tad'u falahu al-asma'ul husna.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
We've been discussing some hadith about the significance of the Quran. The hadith we have been discussing are selected from Al-Kafi, the section called Kitabu Fadlil Quran, about the merits of the Quran, another chapter of the same section. Fadlu Hamil al-Quran, the merits of the people who carry the Quran. Of course, to carry the Quran doesn't mean just to have a copy of the Quran in your hand or pocket and carry it. If Allah give me chance, inshallah, another time in future, I will explain more the concept of Hamlul Quran. What does it mean, Hamlul Quran? Anyway, in this chapter, Fadlu Hamil al-Quran, there are some hadiths. The first hadith, an Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said, Inna ahl al-Qur'an fi a'la darajatin min al-adamiyyin ma khalan nabiyyina wal-mursaleen. The people of the Qur'an are in the highest rank among human beings, except the prophets and messengers. So after the prophets and messengers, who themselves received wahy, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after them, who has the highest rank? Ahlul Qur'an, the people of the Qur'an. فَلَا تَسْتَضْعِفُوا أهل القرآن حقوقهم. Do not underestimate the rights of the people of the Quran. Don't underestimate the right, the position, the rank. فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْجَبَّارِ لَمَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. Because truly, they have a very high position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The Ocean of Dua. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام.
The phrase which was being discussed was this part, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام. Oh Allah, forgive me for the sins which bring down adversities. Regarding this phrase, we read to you a tradition from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, mentioning 9 sins that bring down calamities and adversities. One of them to be discussed today is the 7th one, passing judgment in contrast to Almighty Allah's rules. And this judging in contrast to His rules is another sin which descends adversities. If a judge is aware of Almighty Allah's rules but denies it while judging and issues a verdict based on irreligious rules, he is, according to the Holy Quran, a transgressor, an oppressor, sometimes a disbeliever, the Holy Quran says. So he is a disbeliever because he has denied Almighty Allah's rule. He is an oppressor since he has deprived the human being from his own rights. And he's a transgressor because he is away from the religion. He is far away from humanity due to his unfair and unjust verdict. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has stated, من حكم بين اثنين بغير حكم الله فقد كفر بالله. The one who issues an unfair verdict between two sides, he has become a blasphemer. Dear listeners, we're now going to talk about this part of the tradition more. Let's move on to the next one, which Imam Sajjad alayhi salam mentions as one of the other sins causing the calamities to be sent down. According to Quranic verses and the traditions, paying zakat is obligatory for grains, quadrupeds, gold, silver, and abstinence from paying it is a major sin. In most Quranic verses about prayer, there is an immediate reference to zakat. It means just right after salat is mentioned in the Holy Quran, most of the time zakat is also mentioned. Mentioning zakat after prayers, of course, shows its importance. One who leaves paying zakat, like the shunner of prayer and hajj, is a blasphemer. In a very important tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has mentioned the philosophy of zakat briefly. He says, zakat has become obligatory for assessing the rich and serving the poor. If all the people paid zakat, there would be no poor Muslims, and they would become fortunate by the rights that Almighty Allah has set for them. The people wouldn't get poor, wouldn't get hungry or needy, except for the refraining of the rich from paying their due rights. Those who do not pay Almighty Allah's portion of their wealth do not deserve His mercy. By Allah, no wealth is wasted, whether in the desert or the sea, unless the zakat is paid on it. This is a kind of real test for the wealthy Muslims, because as the narrations and traditions suggest, their wealth is not completely theirs. Some of it is for the poor Muslims.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
When Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam gave a speech in her father's mosque and brilliantly criticized the government of her age, after she read the Quranic verses and the Prophet's traditions, she told the people, فَجَعَلَ الْإِيمَانَ تَطْحِيرًا لَكُم مِّنَ الشِّرْكِ. Allah obliged belief for you to purify you of the pollution of disbelief. وَالصَّلَاةَ تَنْزِيهًا لَكُم عَنِ الْكِبَرِ. He obliged prayer to you to save you from pride. وَالزَّكَاةَ تَزْكِيَةً لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And zakat is to purify you from stinginess. In this regard, one day Imam Ridha alayhi salam told his servant, "Have you granted anything for Allah today?" The servant gave a negative answer. And in the response, Imam alayhi salam said, "So how would Allah recompense us?" So, as you can see, dear listeners, the approach of the infallible imams is totally different from ours. They do not see paying zakat as losing money, but they look at it as the mercy they have gained and achieved. And this is the real transaction. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to Light Upon Light. I am your host, Habib Za'atar. Would like to congratulate all the Shias around the world, for these are the days of remembering the birthday of our beloved Imam, Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam. With me today to talk about Imam Al-Hadi and a little bit about his life is my beloved brother, Sheikh Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you for coming.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Thank you for having me. It's a great honor for me to have this opportunity to be able to talk about Imam Hadi alayhi salam.
So, Sheikh, what have you prepared for us about Imam Hadi alayhi salam?
Well, about the life of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, unfortunately, the life and the character of Imam Hadi alayhi salam is not so much talked about, because one reason in the history, we have so little pages about the life of Imam Hadi alayhi salam.
That goes back to the and rulers, right? That
yes, the oppression.
Yeah.
Yes, that goes back to the circumstances where Imam Hadi alayhi salam was put in forcibly. So we don't have so much narrations from Imam Hadi alayhi salam as we have from, for example, Imam Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq salatu alayhi.
I think it was him or Imam Al-Askar alayhi salam that didn't, that couldn't even say salams to the Shia on the street. When they walk in the street, the Shia, the followers, the
loved ones couldn't even look at them in the street because they were afraid of torture, afraid of oppression by the Khalifa at the time.
Yes, yes. Actually, starting from Imam Jawad alayhi salam, the life of Ahlul Bayt became much more difficult, became much more limited and confined. About Imam Hadi alayhi salam, well, in the time of Imam Hadi salatullah alayhi, there were several oppressive rulers. For example, Mu'taz, Mu'tasim, Muntasir, Mutawakkil. Among these rulers, the most hateful, the most spiteful, the most oppressive, and the most evil of them was Mutawakkil. And he ruled for around 18 years. Right. So he did nothing less than the most amount of oppression that he could do, the most amount of killing Shia, imprisoning them, hurting them, cutting the body parts, especially interfering the pilgrimage of the Shia. So Shia was accustomed to going on a pilgrimage to see the shrine of Imam Zaman, especially Sayyidul Shuhada Salawatullah Alayhi. But Mutawakkil La'natullah Alayhi interfered with this so much. He even
the condition of cutting one hand of the of the caravan, of each caravan.
Yes,
right?
It started by Mutawakkil La'natullah Alayhi. But the Shia did nothing less. They loved Sayyidul Shuhada Salawatullah Alayhi. They loved their imams and they would give anything that they had in order to go on a pilgrimage and see the shrine of imams and have this intimate connection with imams alayhi salam. So Imam Hadi alayhi salam, with this kind of oppression that even Mutawakkil moved forcibly Imam alayhi salam from Medina to Samarra and kind of imprisoned Imam in Samarra in a military kind of area. Samarra was that kind of a city in those times, a military kind of a city. All of the forces, army of the Mutawakkil, they were stationed there. So Imam alayhi salam was put there to have to have knowledge and information about anything that Imam does. So Mutawakkil made sure that Imam is fully under control by his thought. So Imam alayhi salam did a couple of things. One is that kind of agency that we talked about. Imam continued the agency, the organization in which several people that were appointed by Imam alayhi salam.
The second matter, you could call the. You can't connect with them right away. So what do you do? You connect with them by agencies.
Yes. So through this agency, Imam alayhi salam did the task and responsibilities that he thought they were necessary. Guiding the Shia, answering questions, things that we have talked about before. The second thing is especially teaching the Shia to act secretively and to defend themselves, to protect themselves through a specific set of actions. We call this in the language of religion at-taqiyah. Means protecting yourself or protecting your reputation, your family members, you know, your life, your possessions, the your brothers in religion's possessions or their lives or their like reputation, protecting them. Now, how to protect? Sometimes you need to kind of do not say what is right. For example, imagine that a bad ruler comes forcibly to your house, for example, and wants to kill you, kill your family members, and ask you something. If you want to protect yourself, you can, in that position, also tell a lie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a necessity. It's a necessary thing to do to keep your life.
Yes. It's necessary to do it.